Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. And we welcome you to the 91st episode of New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, I was off the grid last week, so we missed an episode. And as things just speed up and escalate, 1 week away seems like a month away with the way the world stage keeps on turning. And we'll begin with story one on the grand chessboard, James. We'll start from Kurt Nimmo, super globalist to replace Italy's Berlusconi. Now that Berlusconi has fallen on his sword, but not before making sure Italians suffer more austerity, the globalists can make their move and insert one of their trusted minions, former EU Commissioner Mario Monti, the financial elite angling for the wholesale looting of the Italian economy and bankster privatization, resulting in mass unemployment, wage cuts, pension thievery, and public service fire sales. It stands to reason that Goldman Sachs will lead the charge in the coming rape of Italy. Monti is Goldman's international advisor. He was also the first chairman of Bruegel, the internationalist European think tank that steers the globalist agenda for the European Union. Monti is also the European chairman of David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission and is also a leading member of the Bilderberg Group. In short, Monti is a super globalist. And the update we have for you from the National Post is that he has now been sworn in. This Kurt Nimmo piece now being a few days old as we come to you from here in the States, November 16th, 2011. But another move on the grand chessboard that we take from the Los Angeles Times, Greece's Papademos wins confidence vote on austerity measures. Greece's new prime minister, Lucas Papademos, which could translate to Pope of the People, won a crucial confidence vote Wednesday on severe austerity measures to be made in exchange for more bailout funds to help the country step back from the brink of bankruptcy. Papademos, 64, a bespectacled former central bank governor who guided Greece's entry into the Eurozone 11 years ago. He won the support of 255 lawmakers in the country's 300-seat parliament. He was quoted as saying the task that this government assumes is titanic. And James, unfortunately, that word is so very apropos. I believe you were discussing the grand chessboard on a recent episode of your live radio show, James. So what is your take?
Well, Papademos, is that Pope of the People or is that sugar daddy for the banksters? Either translation, I suppose, might come into play. But
Big Dad.
Well, I think Goldman Sachs is their tentacles in all of this is not surprising, I think, to anyone who's had their eyes on this. But it's just another connection between them and the ongoing European meltdown. And of course, we know it was the Goldman banksters who were in charge of basically setting up the Greek economy to be looted. And now it's in its disastrous form. And now they're getting one of their minions to take over in Italy. And of course, even in America with the MF Global scandal, which is being investigated by the head of the CFTC, Gary Gensler, and both John Corzine of MF Global and Gary Gensler of the CFTC both worked at Goldman. So again, it's Goldman everywhere. And the tentacles run deep, but it just goes to show how interrelated this incestuous banking family is. And then I guess the other point is that really, did we expect this to play out in any other way? The banksters are taking over basically in a formal sense now. They're actually taking control of the governments themselves rather than just puppeteering things from behind the scenes. And I think this is exactly what we've been predicting all along. If you go and look at the articles I was writing 3 or 4 years ago, why would the banks want to break the economy so that they can offer their solution? I mean, that's exactly what's happening right now. So it's absolutely not surprising, but it's nonetheless horrific for all of that.
And you said, yeah, this shouldn't be a surprise, and it isn't. I know I have a listener who lives in Greece who has sent me updates and emails who has pretty much called the situation a few days or even weeks in advance and saying, oh no, they're about to put in Papademos. And of course they did. So again, it's all seeming so very, very obvious on so many levels. So let's move to our second story. And I think we had to do it. Occupy updates are impossible to miss. And we'll take it, importantly, I think, from washingtonsblog.com, but posted by the way, of Wonkette, actually. So it's both of those sites. And again, folks, will provide all the links and all of the citing and sources. Surprise, surprise, Homeland Security coordinates Occupy crackdowns. Remember when people were freaking out over the Patriot Act and Homeland Security and all this other conveniently ready-to-go post 9/11 police state stuff because it would obviously be just a matter of time before the whole apparatus was turned against non-Muslim Americans when they started getting all complainy about the social injustice and economic injustice and income equality and endless recession and permanent unemployment? That day is now, and it has been for some time, but it's also now confirmed that it is now, as some Justice Department official screwed up and admitted that the Department of Homeland Security coordinated the riot cop raids on a dozen major Occupy demonstration camps nationwide. To extrapolate this out, another piece from the economiccollapseblog.com, the police state versus Occupy Wall Street, gets into the response to the recent raids. Organizers have now declared a National Day of Direct Action on Thursday. That's tomorrow, November 17th, which is the two-month anniversary of the beginning of Occupy, I believe. One of the major actions being planned is a shutdown of Wall Street. Of course, that won't happen because thousands of law enforcement personnel will be dispatched to protect Wall Street if necessary. And of course, they will bring their sound cannons and more. What does seem clear is that Occupy Wall Street seems determined to take things to the next level. There's a video on YouTube where protesters quoted as saying, on the 17th, we're going to burn this city to the MF'ing ground. No more talking. They've got guns. We've got bottles. They've got bricks. We've got rocks. In a few days, you're going to see what a Molotov cocktail can do to Macy's, end quote. One recent survey found that 31% of all Occupy Wall Street protesters, quote, would support violence to advance their agenda, end quote. James, please.
This is not good. This is really not good. I wanted to believe that this movement really could be something hopefully transformative. And if you go back to my very first comments on this on RT, I was talking about the possibility for true political protest, a transformative movement rather than just political theater. But I think it's, to my mind, it's just plain it's devolved into political theater. Whatever political capital this movement might have had at any point, it has been long since been spent, and now people are talking about violence. There's people instigating violence. There's police provocateurs at Occupy London have been caught on camera and all sorts of things, exactly as has been predicted. And you mentioned the specter of the Titanic earlier. I think it applies extremely well in this case because we often talk about rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic as a, you know, example of exercise and futility. In this case, it seems to me it's like fighting over the deck chairs on the Titanic. What is it going to prove to go to the government to ask for this or that from them? That's not the solution or the way out. So I think this movement has really played itself out, and the denouement is just going to be the roundups and the police, the growing, encroaching police state, and it's just going to give them a chance to use all their funky new technology and do it in a way that the average person watching at home on television is going to see that and go, well, the protesters got what they deserved, and they're going to mentally buy into the system and buy into all of the police state measures that are being used. So it's a horrific situation all around. I don't think there's any good outcome from this. And to my mind, still the only real solution is for us to start withdrawing ourselves from the system, not going to Wall Street and protesting, but actually creating the communities and the alternative currency systems and all of that that's going to be the real basis for any type of way forward.
Obviously, a Molotov cocktail into Macy's makes us think of, you know, the bricks and the trash cans into the Starbucks in Seattle those many years ago now. And I think, James, both, you know, you and I and all would probably agree that regardless of our take and hopes or misgivings about anything about Occupy, we can see the measures that are going down ultimately aren't good for anyone. And there was obviously some kind of coordinated effort between so many of the mayors, as we saw so many of the operations go like dominoes in each city, of course, one of them being my city here of Portland, Oregon.
And not just in the United States, by the way, also in Canada this week, it's all the roundups have started, and in other places too.
So for folks to go through that aforementioned washingtonsblog.com gets into some of the areas surrounding Homeland Security and the Fed's involvement in a lot of that. So for our third and final story this week, my friends, on New World Next Week, we take it to James Corbett's ClimateGate.tv at the Durban Climate Summit. It'll be bigger than the World Cup. Originally from IOL News, Leonardo DiCaprio, James, there's our third Titanic reference. There's the hat trick. Leonardo DiCaprio and Angelina Jolie of the Council on Foreign Relations head up a star-studded cast of celebrities expected to descend on Durban, which is the third largest city in South Africa and also the name of a rare strain of highly potent marijuana. They're going to descend for COP17 climate talks in 3 weeks' time, going actually from November 28th to December 9th, which will be the single biggest event in Durban's history. Hotels fully booked, presidential suites, of course, the works. Although the final guest list is under wraps, it is believed that DiCaprio, one of the world's high-profile proponents of green lifestyles, and Jolie, a UNICEF ambassador, will be in town, even if for a short time. Arnold Schwarzenegger, former U.S. vice president turned environmental activist Al Gore, and U2's Bono are also expected. World Bank President Robert Zoellick of the Council on Foreign Relations and United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and eight Nobel laureates, including Archbishop Desmond Tutu, will be in town along with Ted Turner and Richard Branson, heads of state, and government ministers from 190 states will be jetting into the city. Limousine liberal time for the anthropogenic global warming fraud, James.
That's pretty much it, isn't it? And if there's any better demonstration needed of just how much this is just a photo op for all of these celebrities, I think this is a pretty good example right here. And I don't know, with a meeting of the minds like Angelina Jolie and Leonardo DiCaprio and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bono and other deep thinkers like this, I'm sure they'll have that climate nut cracked any day now, right? No, of course, the whole thing is a fraud from top to bottom. And this, I think, just goes to show that it is more about the cause celeb than it is about anything serious regarding the science. And of course, ClimateGate.tv is going to be keeping up with the Durban conference because it's that time of year again where our thoughts turn back again to global warming in the coldest winter months in the Northern Hemisphere. I like how that always works out that way. But yes, we're going to be tracking this story, and some of the latest to come out is that some of the countries, South Africa, Brazil, China, have already said that they're not going to sign on to any type of new Kyoto Protocol before the next IPCC report comes out. And the next IPCC report is going to have some difficult things to exclude from the peer-reviewed literature if they want to try to maintain the fraud of the anthropogenic global warming hoax. So it's going to be an extremely interesting few years, and I think the first step will have to be the devastation of the Durban Climate Conference. And it's interesting to see some of the warmists already coming out and dismissing the conference, basically saying there's no possibility they're going to get anything accomplished. So I think this one's going to be much less important than Copenhagen or even Mexico last year, but it'll still be a good chance to expose the limousine liberals and the carbon eugenicists.
I'm going to provide a flashback link posted to Media Monarchy back in July of 2007, a band I really like, Arctic Monkeys Shiver at Climate Hypocrisy. There was a AFP article about them turning down a slot at the big Live Earth fiasco in 2007, basically saying it's like, oh, so we can fly jets in there and fire up all kinds of expensive equipment. It's like, that'd be really stupid. So
that's right. And it's good to note that in Copenhagen, they estimated, I think, 41,000 tons of carbon dioxide equivalent were released into the atmosphere as a result of all those people flying in. So even if you believe the fraud, it's another fraud on top of it.
Now, I bet in Durban, they're also probably doing cleanup jobs in the undesirable locations in the city, just like they're doing in London for 2012 and that they're doing in Rio for the actual World Cup coming in 2014. James, we are just about out of time on this 91st episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com. I'd just like to take the moment to invite folks to check out my upcoming episode of the podcast this week, where I'll go over my recent time off the grid in New Mexico and the EAS test that wasn't, and how it seems as though all our educational and financial and religious institutions are completely bankrupt failures, and it's becoming all very obvious. James.
Excellent. Well, I am looking forward to the continuation of the Media Monarchy podcast, and I'm looking forward to doing this again next week. So thanks again for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you.